Peace, y'all. This is Views from the 7 Podcast, man. We are back, man. It's been a lot of podding, man. But I'm here. I got two special guests with me. Back. Last time it was something, man. It was one of them ones. Grease, we back. Are you still going, Mark? Greasy,
Grease, man.
Okay, man. Look,
title your least call, Grease, man.
Hey, man. Oh, I like that. That's what I'm talking about. So,
what's up?
Shit, man.
I'm sober this time.
Yeah, you was.
I would do it right.
Hey, man. We back. We here, man. This one of them. This might be one of them ones, man. I ain't never talked about. You know, I normally stay clear of these conversations right here, man. You know, I've never really talked about being a husband in this world, especially in this era, man. It's a little different now that I'm on the other side.
Yeah.
Where y'all want to start at? Where you want to start?
Hey, man, just jump into it, man. Because we kind of started, excuse me. Like I said, seeing you at the gym and just having an understanding of how do we be good husbands, you know, in today's age.
Yeah.
Because with, you know, talking to my pops, you know, and other men that are older, like social media, all the different things that they didn't have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like temptations and different stuff like that. But then even went on some like parenting stuff. Like, how do we be good fathers to our daughters, be the example for, you know, our sons and all this other stuff. So I know a lot of times, you know, we be talking at the gym on some father stuff.
Yeah.
And I talk to, I talk to my brother SO a lot, you know, just on.
Yeah, I'm the newbie out of this. Y'all been with y'all wives longer than I've been with my wife, so.
We've been together for a long time. We've been married coming on 2.
Okay. Well, ours would be 6, but.
Yeah, see, I'm the baby.
Yeah, see, I've been married. 11.
But see, you've been with her.
I've been with
longer.
Yes,
yeah, y'all been with y'all women longer. I've been my woman. I call it the 6-9. You're married for 6 years. Been together 9 years. So we've been together 9 years.
Yeah, see, I've been with my wife since high school. So yeah, 97.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So
how does that work?
Man, it's working. Yeah, it's a work. It's a job. It's a job, and that's one of the things like I always encourage my friends, because you got to make marriage work. And that's one of the things, you know, I've been with my wife since high school. So it was a lot of growth we had to go through, separations, getting back together.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of growing pains that I had to go through, you know, with her. It just, as a man, to be like, okay, I messed up. Okay, I didn't do this right.
Mm.
Okay. It's just certain situations you go through that you got to grow through. And then you share those experiences with people. And, you know, they're like, oh, man, like, you went through something similar?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you know, it. But they like, man, you care. Yeah, I carried it well, but on the inside, you know, but you have your testimonies and stuff like that that you go through. But it's just really about communication and support, man. That's what I really learned from over time, learning how to communicate, you know, with my wife and stuff. So, you know, that's the main thing, man, communication.
Spence, what made you want to get to the point of, all right, let's get married?
I always knew, man, but, you know, I wanted to be able to give her something.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think marriage is more of a legacy thing for me.
Yeah.
It's not a social thing. It's a legacy thing. And I didn't want it to be a social thing where we was just doing this, or I was doing this because I felt obligated, or because.
This marriage like number peer 2, pressure. 2, by the way, huh?
Yeah, the first one was only 90
don't
days.
Count.
No, don't count.
Right.
But you know, I learned some real lessons in that. You know what I mean? And I would never let anybody put me in that position again where this wasn't, I didn't feel like this was my decision.
Right.
But I always knew. I just wanted us to have a solid foundation. You know what I mean? And, you know, now that I don't need. It came from out. Let me see. I'm trying to figure out, like, how did I even? Because I know I was intoxicated, and I know I was podding, and then I think I just picked up my phone and texted her like, "Man, let's do it." You know what I mean? But it was cool because it was on my terms.
Okay.
It wasn't something that I was pushed to do. Kind of like she knew.
Yeah.
She wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know that I wanted to though.
Gotcha.
And so once we did that, it was kind of like, you know.
So you wish you would have did it sooner?
Fuck yeah. But I always knew. But I, like I said, I just wanted to to, you know, leave her with something. I just didn't want to. I see a lot of people normally go into situations and, you know, high debt, stressful situations, mm-hmm. and that often leads to the demise before it even starts.
Right.
So. And I didn't want to do that, you know what I mean? So, you know, but then I just said, fuck it. Let's do it. Let's do it. How did you know?
Once I got the horn out of my system.
Mm.
Once I got the horn out of my system, I said, the next person I date, if I don't have the intentions on marrying them, I ain't gonna even fuck with them like that, on that level. So, like, shortly after my mom died in, like, 2014, maybe a couple months later, we just talking and whatever. And her mom and my mom was best friends.
Mm,
so
that's what's up.
I always joke and say, she used to babysit me. So I said, I married my babysitter.
Yeah.
Because it's a 5-year age gap between me and her. So at the funeral, she showed up. I ain't seen her in, like, decades or whatever. So we chopping it up. And on Facebook or something, two chicks I was messing with, two exes, was going back and forth, going at it. So she inboxed me, like, man, what's up with you and your booze?
Yeah.
Like, you need to get yourself some new booze. So, you know, I shot my shot. Like, well, I'm going to let you be my next boo. Whatever.
Yeah.
She was like, you know, I ain't never really looked at you like that. You was like a little SO. You know, I ain't never looked at you that way. So, she set up a booty call date, like, at the hotel room. I was like, you want to do this? Let's do this. You get the room, I come through.
Man, yeah. don't do sis like that.
She ain't allowed to say it before, I think. So, I had turned.
Yeah.
May 19th was my birthday, and then 2 days later, she got the room, and we've been rocking ever since.
That's
so
what's up.
Booty call turned into a marriage.
Hey, look at you. Ooh, that's what's
so
up.
So our anniversary date is really our booty call date.
Hey.
Crazy.
Yo. Something to remember. Something to never forget.
Try to give inspiration to all the women out there, man.
Grease?
Well, I kind of knew early. You know, my parents still married, so I knew early in high school. Once we got together, like, my freshman year, after making it through high school with her, like, and after all the high school antics we had going on, and she was still there, like, I had knew that she was something different. Everybody was calling me Grease, she'll call me Andre. You know, I started noticing the difference in everything that she was doing. So my wife was just very important, like, hey, why ain't you in class? Like, different stuff, like, making sure I was on point with what I had to do. Definitely dating, like you said, little hornball trying to do stuff, and nah, you can't. You got practice. You got this. You got, you know, like, making sure that I stayed on point what I had to. And I know my senior year, I left to go to college, and I had got engaged. I had got engaged then. I was like, yo, let me just make sure I put a ring on her, because to let her know that I'm committed.
Mm.
That even though I'm finna go up here to school, I'm still committed to you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people think about college, and it could be wild times up there. It was wild. But it was just having that understand. I'm still committed to you. Like, no matter what, I'm committed to you. And then it was like, really, after we had our, you know, our son Legend, was when it was like, for me, it was like, you know what? We got three kids. I need to make an honest woman out of her. Like, she's been down. Yeah. Like, let me stop calling, like, having people call her by anything other than Mrs. Mitchell. You know, and that was kind of that, like, let me do that, because that's what I come from, you know, because, you know, I look at my dad, he's still married. I'm like, well, bro, you're not doing it right, you know, because my dad has always been an example for me of what a husband, father should do. So I was just like, yeah, let me go ahead and do this right, lock it up so she know that I'm committed, you know. So it was like really after my son, man, it was just impromptu. We was my boy Styles. Shout out to my boy Styles, man. Happy belated birthday to him. We was just at the studio, and and he was like, bro, man, y'all been engaged for like 10 years, bro. Like, when y'all gonna get married? Yeah. He was like, we was like, bro, we're gonna do it right now. He was like, bet, let's go. So we just went and shot to the mall, got the rings. And then, he be up here too, Sir Charles Tatum. He, you know, he have his show up here as well. He was the one who actually married us. He took us to the courthouse. He was like, because he was down there slanging the marriage packages.
Yeah.
So I walk up on him. I'm like, bro, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm just down here doing the wedding stuff. I'm like, bro, that's what we down here for. So a friend of mine who I knew since childhood, rest in peace to my best friend, Chill, that's his cousin, walked us into there, took us through the whole process, went to the chapel, got married, been rocking ever since, man. Yeah, so.
So what was that transition like?
To be honest with you, it was kind of easy. Because I've always, in my mind, been, you know, it, like, when you engage, it's a certain level of, like, commitment you got to have, because, you know, you there. But then when you have kids, too, certain level of extra commitment that you have. And then, so once we got married, it actually gave me more commitment to it. Cause now I'm just like, okay, now we really locked in. Like you said, on some legacy stuff.
Yeah.
Now,
the
like,
level of accountability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I can't just, you know, you can't walk away. I can't walk away, but more than that, we both walked in. We're building something that our kids can come stand on too. Cause that was really what it was for me. Cause I was like, man, I got these kids and, you know, if I want my daughters to be married and my son to be like, I gotta be the example to, you know, to be that. I don't want them walking around thinking, and it's okay if you, you know, you marry without kids and all, you know, so, or have kids without marriage. I mean, you know, it's fine. I'm not judging it cause I was the same, but I was just with, I was like, you know what, for us, you know, let me go ahead and do that so it could be really locked in on what we're trying to do. Mm. So, but the transition was easy, bro. It wasn't nothing, man. You know, it was, you know, I just told her, you know, you got to put some respect on my name.
That's all.
What up?
The transition from being like in a relationship to marriage, how was that?
Easy. Because we had already lived together for like 2 years and we don't have no kids that I know of. I ain't got no kids. So we had no kids, so that kind of made it a little bit easier. So just it felt like we just got it. She got my last name. She worked and earned and got my last name. So it, like I said, it does give us a level of accountability. Like, hey, we in this together. Like as together as one. Whatever she do, I do.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of things. I realized that they could find a she could find 1,000 ways to spend my money. But
shout out,
man. Yeah. That's a trait of some with all women. God damn.
It's a blessing though, man. You know, it's
is
a blessing.
It though?
Without us getting in trouble at home.
I try to you know, remain on a budget. I'm the budgeter.
Okay.
But it's a blessing to know like we don't have to really worry about financial issues.
That's the benefit of marriage. I like. She's always, well, you need to do this and do this. You know, I was the king of it, nigga. I pay that shit right before they cut it off. And it's final notice, third notice. I mean, let me go ahead and pay this before they cut it off. I mean, my phone bill to this day, like, I don't pay it till it's off. I'm like, oh, shit, I can't see the text message. Let me pay this bill.
you keep giving up that free 30?
Man.
Reconnection fee at
$30. Yeah, we got the team. I went from Sprint to T-Mobile now, so they got reconnection fee charges. I'm like,
yeah, $30.
Put this on auto pay and quit bullshit.
Yeah, ooh, man. You know, the lessons, you know, we learn from the, you know, from our OGs, our elders, you know, that's what the one thing I did learn from my pops. My pops used to sit down at the table by himself and budget and do the bills. And all, and I kind of took on that. I took on that role. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, it's a blessing to not have to worry about financial decisions. Now, will we argue about overspending? Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
But we don't have that pressure on our shoulders. Right. You know what I mean? I would like to say I'm glad that I don't have to find out. Mm-hmm. I won't have to find out, God willing, what that feels like to have that pressure on your shoulders where you don't know from a week to week basis how you're gonna get through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially during a marriage. I know that could be tough.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that yet. I hope we don't have to go through the same thing neither. But I always think about that. Like I'm in a way different level of stability. Like I was telling Greece earlier, stability is the new sexy. So like,
ooh, man, it's here,
man. It's getting shaky out there, man.
But yeah, no, it's crazy because the same thing that you said, like me and my wife experienced young, like getting evicted out of, you know, like all that, man, because we were just a young couple. We didn't know, like I said, paying bills, the importance of doing all of that stuff. So of course, you know, when you get older, you got to start looking at, I mean, what makes sense, like because. Hey, communication. Like you said, me and my wife, we debate all the time about vacations and different things. Yeah. Like, bro, like, yeah, we can do without, but, you know, it, happy wife, happy life. But, you know, also, this, like you said, it's also to understand what you're trying to expose your kids to as well. And that's what, you know, when she started explaining that part, I'm like, okay, well, we can, when you say it like that, I'm just thinking it's on some, you're just trying to take the kids, okay, but now you're trying to show them something that they can actually, you know, grow on. And I'm like, okay, that does make sense. But yeah, man, that money be,
ooh, man, I'm
that be like, I think that's one of them the biggest things. I think money and sex is the biggest things in a marriage, man. Like, cause it just, man, before you came in, man, me and SO was talking just about that the ego of a man, you got to be able to have self-control, you know, because you be thinking like, man, I still got it.
Let me go ahead and see if I can work my match in these streets.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, like you said, things just, you know, you're not complimenting at the house. I ain't getting complimented. And then you out in the streets and you get complimented. It'd be simple things like that, that you know, like, let me go pop my, you know, but you can't be like that. And that's one of the things that, as a man, for me, that control, you know, just being like, okay, just with her, that's it, you know, like, you know. But then again, it's a beautiful thing when you actually look at it, because I talked to a couple of my single friends, and it's reckless and crazy in them streets out there. It's dangerous, man. So you just knowing you got a safe place, and you just like, man, I'm locked in. Ain't no switching up, you know. Like this,
marriage is a good thing when it's done right. It's a beautiful thing. But I think so many people don't look at the examples of it being done right to where they kind of have a disdain for it. Because I don't know, without culture, I don't know, you can get Mexicans hop across the border and come over here and they be married or whatever. Yeah. But they see a different value in marriage, and they're on a less economic scale than us, so to speak, according to the statistics. But they see the value in marriage that a lot of us don't. So it's something there to that.
But I also think, too, with like we were saying earlier, like the influences of marriage. Like my parents was in the house, so I got a chance to see my parents be married.
And you're the only friend I got who parents is still married.
Right.
Like, my whole life. Like, Greek's parents still married.
Still married. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's my example. A lot of other people's examples are like Will Smith and Jada and all, and we were just saying the power of music. We was young and moving around like that because we sitting here listening to Dog Pound. It ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. So we was doing all of these things, bro. Like, it was crazy. Yeah. You know, and that's why I say when you become a parent, you start to realize, like, man, we was wild, you know. And then you're like, okay, I got to teach my kids not to move this way and not to do these things and stuff like that. But the influence of social media, bro, I think, like our parents, if we can rewind it back to the 80s and 90s, like when we were born, living, what did TV look like?
Cosby Show, different world.
there were more examples, I feel.
Family Matters and shit like that.
Family. Yeah. On TV.
You see what I'm saying? Like, we can go deeper into what we feel like, who controlling the narrative of what they want the black family to be like, you know, what they want the black husband to be like, what they want the black father to be like, you know, and it's like you have all these different examples of what they try to make you be. And that's why I was saying, you know, we have open conversations, and no disrespect to, you know, D Wade and what he got going on, but he's a married man, and we look at him like, okay, well, that's a unique situation. Like, as a father, like, how do I handle that if my kid was to do that? You know, like, but is this ways to go around that, you know, without, you know, just like, hey, that's how he parent. And I had a situation happen to me, like, when I think it was like Jaden Smith wore that skirt and for Louis Vuitton, bro. And I just put it up, like, man, when you do it without getting paid for, bro, cool. You know, and then everybody, you know, I'm like, man, you got bought. You sold your soul.
Yeah.
As a parent, I'm like, as Will, I would have stopped that. Don't go get a check for it. Because now you know, if you want to do it on your own terms, do it on your own terms. People attack me as a father, as a husband. I'm sitting here like, bro, because I don't want my son wearing a skirt. Like, that's not what I come from. And they're like, oh, you don't understand. I'm like, man, I got to get in, like, defensive.
Yeah.
Because at first, I was just trying to be cool. And then I'm like, bro, I'm going to stand on what I stand on. Because I'm not offending you. If I offend you, okay, whatever. But it's my household. I'm the leader of the house over here. And that's when it really started clicking with me. Like, okay, man, really? People really care about what you do in your house.
Yeah.
They want your kid to be out here doing what they own. Your parent ain't parenting you. That's how I look at it. You know, when all this stuff be going on and we have conversations, it's not to step on nobody's toes on how they parent their kids, but it's just we got to start talking about this. Yeah. Father's not present in the house. That's why a lot of these things be going on. We got to start talking about that. The husband not there. Like, we not here trying to help the wife push her dreams. Why you pushing me? Let me push you too. So these are all the conversations that that's what we having. That's why I hit you in the gym. Like, yo, we got to start talking a little bit more about that.
I don't have any examples of fathers really not being there. And if they are, they're so, you know, small that I just don't pay attention to them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It doesn't give none of, I don't give none of that, none of my energy. I do feel though, now that I am on the other side of the aisle, so to speak, mm-hmm. I do feel like the stereotypes are easy to highlight because the narrative or the lane of black entertainment today is more so of the woman searching for love. So what is love or black love if all we see is the woman searching for it?
But who caters to that market? Women, I don't want to go into Kevin Samuels' path, but they control media. There's more women in higher positions of black women in media than black men. So they're controlling the narrative of Shade Room, Madame Noire, all these other publications that cater to black media. It's ran by women and it's catered towards women.
Yeah, but I think because when it comes to our community, I would like to think they're the silent majority. Like Beyonce, so to speak, right? You know, she can make all of this music about exes and she's leaving and all of this shit and then go back and go to her husband.
Correct.
So it's misleading. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And when, you know, when we take this music on, we get this false narrative of, well, there are thriving situations out there. There are thriving marriages. There are, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think the stereotypes are there. They just have evolved a little bit more.
Right.
As far as that, man, I just... You know, when you bring up social media, I feel like I've always it's been the same with money. Like, you know, when people say money doesn't change who you are, it just exposes who you already are, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like social media is the same thing. Well, what do you do now when you are handed like all of this freedom? Mm-hmm. You have everything at your disposal. You can reach out to anybody, you can talk to anybody. So now it's just you may want a marriage or a relationship, but what happens when you're exposed to the world?
Right.
You know, and sometimes people aren't ready for what they want and it comes crumbling down.
That's true.
As far as transition goes, man, because we have been together for so long, it was easy at first. It was easy at first. And we went through probably about a 4 or 5 month stretch that was tough. And it was tough for me because I was raised to always have an out. Right. Mm-hmm. And to be in a situation to where I don't have one was frightening for a while. So I started acting out a lot because I felt like I was stuck. Not from a physical standpoint, but from a mental one. Mm-hmm. When all your finances are like
together, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It ain't two names, it ain't one name on here no more. You know what I mean? So I started to act out a little bit, man. But you know, thankfully we made it. It's pretty much smooth sailing now. I think the time we are in now, we are having, like, you know, people like to talk about communication a lot. Mm-hmm. And we've been having some real uncomfortable conversations lately. And but I feel like that's effective communication, especially in marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, lingering thoughts are things. They can fuck up a lot of shit. You know what I mean? Especially because, you know, when we get in our head, shit can go way left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and to sit down, you have healthy, sometimes uncomfortable conversations is needed.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, my examples, man, I'm making the rules, man. I haven't really had no examples of what a flourishing marriage looks like.
So you don't talk to nobody about marriage or, like, you know, give me some advice on how to maintain this marriage or nothing like that? Weaning it?
I've talked to two people about my marriage, especially during the time where, like, things were tough.
Yeah.
Right. And from a marriage standpoint, the advice that they gave me was like solid. You know what I mean? And it makes you sometimes we forget like how we got there.
Right.
You know what I mean? You'd be so angry and you be in your thoughts and your feelings that you forget, you know, how you got there and how you fell in love with this woman. And, you know, so, you know, talking to my boys you know, they was just basically like, man, you know, whatever you want to do, man, just make sure you sit with yourself and you can, you know, you won't be second guessing.
Right.
You know, standing whatever it was. And, man, I just sat there for a minute. And I was like,
that sounds like they ain't want to tell you nothing. They told you the right thing, though, because that's the exact same information I really got from other people.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's your marriage. So I can't tell you what to do with your marriage other than to tell you, hey, sit with it. Whatever decision you're going to make, make sure that you're fine with making that decision. But look at everything in totality, not just from a position of grief. Look at everybody.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be impacted by what you got going on. Because I know I had that same thing when you said I felt stuck and I started acting out. And I was like, bro, that's what I was doing? I swear, when you said that, that's when I was like, that's what I was, same thing. In a job, didn't feel no growth there, just not seeing any growth. Like you said, everything just here, like, man, and I just wanted to have something outside of what was there. And like it was just, but it also brought attention to what was at home because, you know, we was talking pride is a thing with a man, bro.
Fuck like, yeah, man.
You know, and that's that. And I think that's the hardest thing for us men to do is to really humble ourselves, man. Because coming from a standpoint, like I've been with my wife for a long time. That's why the transition for me, when my friends talk to me, they're like, well, you've been with, you know, your wife since high school, bro. Yeah. So everything that we've been through together, you know? So like you said, lingering things, you got to have these uncomfortable conversations at times. Cause we had to, and I know that's a difficult thing too. I be seeing now when I try to, you know, tell my friends like, hey, when you guys are talking with your significant other, it's a way you communicate to them. So you don't make them like, feel like they are being like belittled. Or like you're degrading them or you're judging or passing opinion on them, because sometimes you got to look at that person's situation, where they come from. Are they from this or what they, because it all makes sense. Because with me, my parents being there, it made it a little bit different because both of my parents would still be there talking to me about whatever I did. So I was able to see that. But then also seeing my parents when they got in an argument, see it over there and also work it out, still married today. So the example for me has always been, you know, been that. So that's why I've, you know, been wanting to like just get on these type of things to say like, hey, I'm available. You know, I don't know everything, but hey, we can figure it out together, because the whole goal is to keep it together.
Yeah.
You know, not break it up, you know, because that's why I said the transition for me was already pretty much easy. I was living that way, you know, for a while.
Yeah.
But then just hearing you like, man, I was acting out like
see, we was together for we were together for about 8 years. Okay. 8 years going on 9 when we got married, man, and you know, that's my partner. You know what I mean? Through everything. That's my real partner.
Right.
And we did everything together. We do everything together. You know what I mean? We got property and all that shit together. But it's different when you government backed, you know what I mean?
right.
It's different. Man. So it's like, you know what I mean? I always felt like and maybe it was a crutch, you know what I mean? Maybe that's something I'm gonna have to look back on. And you know, maybe you know, having that out or feeling like I don't have an out was a crutch for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was easier back then because I always knew when shit hits the fan, I can.
You felt like you fuck with me, you stuck with me type of deal? Like,
well, I mean, you know, when you go through fucked up situations, you know, they kind of last on us too. You know what I mean? And I just always felt like, see, my examples of I've had examples of marriage and relationships, and you know, my mom and dad was together for a long time. But just because two people stay together doesn't mean it's for healthy reasons.
True, that's true too.
And so you know, me seeing all of these situations, especially going up in the 90s, man, you know, the rules are different.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, and going through my first situation, I always just felt like I always stayed until I became the villain. You know what I mean? Okay. And then as you get older, you're like, man, I don't know. I ain't stand through this shit. Kiss my ass.
So you feel you thrive better in the villain role? Like you felt comfortable being a villain? So that was like your comfort space?
On the mic, yeah. In person?
Okay.
Not too much, because that's not my real personality.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Oh, gotcha.
You know, shout out to those that get it.
Yeah, I get
you
it.
You know, but I'm not going to be explaining this to everybody. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Right. But, you know, a lot of people take whatever they hear and
roll with it.
And roll with it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. But in real life situations, man, you know, I stayed until I really became the villain. Even though I was doing, you know, fuck shit on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But I, as I got older, it was like, man, you ain't got to stay through this shit, man. You know? Right. So the out was always, I could get up out of here. You know what I mean? But the moment I made that decision, it was like, man, that shit is over with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say I'm at that age where I just don't believe in divorce at all. Mm. And I don't... Not if you don't, you know,
yeah.
If you don't stay up and get it.
Yeah.
But we here now, you know what I'm saying? We're going to have to work this out. Mm-hmm. We got to do what we got to do to work this out. Yeah. And
I think
so it can get tough.
To build off of what you're saying, like to time. Can't get back time, bro. And that's really the thing that I like really understand with my wife is just time. It's so limited,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then when you start thinking about like, you know, just because now we at that age where a lot of our friends are passing away.
We got more years,
yeah, you know,
behind us than in front of
so,
us.
So yes, yeah. Now you're starting to, you know, it's starting to, you know, be surreal right now. While we're, you know, that's why I'm like, it got to be urgent for mm-hmm. us to really take back control. We can't allow, you know, the examples of entertainers be the husbands, because that's not real.
Yeah.
You know, that's not real.
And they pick the bad ones. They don't pick like Denzel or Samuel Jackson. People that have been married forever that's upstanding, like, you know what I'm saying, entertainers. We get the ones that's toxic as fuck, that end bad and all this other shit.
It goes back to social media.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You got the blue face and all, like, these are the examples of what people think relationships should be. And then they go and try to, you know, emulate that because...
Shit, Bill and Camille, if you think about it. Even though he got a whole heap of fuck shit, they still together.
Together.
They could have went to prison and some more shit.
Yeah. But I mean...
Different. They come from a different era too, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Communication. I'm thinking about in the 90s. I mean, everything wasn't... I mean, you had the Cosbys. You had the Fresh Prince. But other than that, Good Times sometimes.
The Jeffersons?
Jefferson's was kind of like, I'll run this. You listen to me. That's what that was.
Right.
The Jeffersons, what's my man's? Archie? Oh, shit. Archie Bunker. God
oh,
damn.
Man. All in the family.
Martin and Gina.
But, like, you got to think about it, though, bro. Like, look at a different world. We all want to go to Spelman or these colleges.
Southern.
Because,
yeah.
Southern because of what they put on TV.
Yeah.
Now when you watching shows like, you know, because my wife, she watch All American. You got all type of stuff going on. You got this person character. You got this character. And it's all built on drama. When you watch these shows, when we grew up, it wasn't no drama. It wasn't. The drama was, is he going to get with her?
It's conflict TV.
This is what we're saying. Like, look at what the image of a black man and a husband on TV look like. Like, we are under attack. They try to make it seem like we got to accept what they pushing in front of us, bro. And it's like, we don't got no pushback.
Let me
be contrarian for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you name me the last solid TV that you've seen with a solid black family that was like some heat?
That was good?
Yeah.
The Carmichael Show. You said good. My bad.
Yeah. And see, that's my point. You see, y'all sit there. It's like we say we want these things, but when it's presented in a way towards when it's entertaining for us,
Bernie Mac show.
It ain't that good. Mm. Or some Tyler Perry shit.
Do we count Uncle Junior and Unhailing off the Jimmy Fox show?
See, come on.
And they was solid though, man. You gotta count them, man.
So a lot of that shit be boring, man. I get it.
I mean, it's for TV.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's what the people, the actual actors are doing the same thing that they doing on the TV show. They living the same way in real life, though. And they promote those same type of things, though. Because it ain't no attacking people like T.I. and these, because these are the people that we grew up around. Like I said, we grew up in an era where in middle school,
yeah,
it wasn't no fun if the homies can't have none. Dog pound. That's what we were doing back then, bro. Like it, yeah. And it was just, you were out here trying to do all these things that you seen Snoop and all. That's what we were on. And like we were saying, music was very influential at that time. Movies, very influential.
Yeah.
Boys in the Hood, very influential. Then that's when we got exposed to Luke and all. Like all these different things start exposing us because we got to see what it is now.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, the internet really changed everything. Because once the internet came around, like you said, it was...
I got to sell your personality along with my music. So I had to show you my life and who I am as an artist as well as the music. So then everything gets kind of jaded. If Ice Cube would have did that, knowing that all the gangster rap that he did that was good or whatnot, he still go home to his wife, been with the same chick all these years. So it's kind of like what you're saying in your music and conflicting what's going on in real life.
Story.
So social media kind of makes it where there is no separation of the two. It all has to be in one.
Yeah, like even with Jeezy. Yeah. Jeezy was a big player, but look at him. He married, you know, like happy. But on his songs, he, you know, like that ain't what you projected. You know, you ain't on that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it's kind of that, it's kind of like, I don't know, like I appreciate TV for what it is. You know, but it's the example of the men that are on social media that we keep, you know, we keep talking about and bigging up and like, nah, man, we can't, you know, we need to start selecting who we want to push. You know, and stand behind. But most important, stand on what you stand on. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I start looking at. Man, I don't care about what you do because I got to worry about what I do as a husband. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's really the main thing. I got to worry about me. If I start looking at what other husbands are doing, you know, then that's going to start messing with me, you know, because it happens that way. Because when you feel like you have a lack of something, they have an abundance, you start looking at what they doing and how their life is, how their marriage is. Because, I mean... There was a time, yeah, everybody wanted to be like, I wanted to be like T.I. and me had this, but then you open your bed up like that and your marriage up like that, then you have them situations, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because it ain't...
You said something that made sense about freedom. You felt like you was trapped and you had the freedom. And a lot of people come to me and my wife about how they love our marriage and all this. I'm like, we just married, like we together. What the hell they see, we gonna see. But I think there's something to that because... The way I move, she do kind of give me the freedom to be me. And at the same time, I won't be disrespectful towards her.
Yeah.
So long as I know that I have that freedom, I don't feel like I'm trapped. And that might be something to that. When we was talking about communication, was a good thing too, because that's why I could never date outside my race, because if I can't come home and call my wife nigga or say this, and I feel uncomfortable, to say her word. I use about 37 N-words before noon.
Yeah. Man, do y'all have it? Well... Have y'all been in situations where you know, you kind of double dated or anything like that? You started to look at the other couple like, damn, man, they kind of go.
Yeah.
And like picking things from them?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of my friends, I had to switch, like, really. I try to just hang out with my married friends, man. And then my single friends who know, you know, they respect my wife. So they ain't, like, they don't know stuff like that. But... when you go out, you know, we take trips with other married couples. I done went to Hawaii a couple times with some married couples just to get away, you know, and actually, you know, I went out with the time before last, we went to Hawaii with my friend K Rich, and now he's engaged. He's engaged for some.
Shout out
to them.
Rich, man.
You know,
shout
and
out.
Like I said, even hollering at him, man, he had got out of his situation and I had to tell him, like, nah, man, marriage is still beautiful, bro. Like, things happen. You know, for a reason, and you can't look back on it. And you know, you made some mistakes, and just be accountable.
Yeah.
And the next time you do it, just be accountable. Don't make the same mistakes. And you know, just talking to him and seeing his transition from being a single man to dating and to now engaged and about to be married, and that's what you would like to see, because now he's flourishing. And that's why I tell people, like, marriage is a beautiful thing when done right. When you ain't got outside people in your situation and all that other stuff, like. It can flourish.
I got an associate. He's a good friend, been with his baby mother for a few years. He was telling me about he wanted to think about marrying her. He said, but she don't trust him because she's going through his phone because he kept doing enough cheating in the past. And I'm like, man, I'm be real with you, bro. If you ain't got the horn out your system, don't even get married. And don't even be with her. Just be straight up with it. But if you got to get it out your system and know this is what you want, because it's us as married black men to sit there and change the narrative. We have a social responsibility on what marriage is supposed to be and what it can be.
Yeah.
Hey, I know you don't like my boy, man, but you know, shout out to Donnell Jones. He say when you love you know someone, you just don't do, just don't treat him bad.
I love Donnell, man, but you know, don't go see your idols. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, your heart, man.
Hey, right quick, I just brought that up because when we brought him out here.
Oh, I was front row.
He was front row when we brought Donnell Jones to the LVH, and he didn't know that. He didn't know that was me that brought him out.
That shit broke my heart.
How was the Boosie bash?
Man, look here, man.
It's incredible. A single man.
Nah, I was with all married couples.
That's good. See, that's what I'm saying. Once you get married, you start hanging around other married people.
See, that's
weird
that,
how that shit works.
That's what I be trying to get my friends to understand, man. Like, marriage cool, man. Like, I really married my best friend.
Fact.
Like, I really married my best friend. Like, mm-hmm. Man, I do some of the awkward stuff. Like, I get up in the middle of the night. I'll be up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, stretching and meditating. And man, I sleep with fans on, blow dry, all type
doing
of stuff,
suicide
bro.
Drills
like,
at
all,
2 a.m.
Man, all type of stuff, bro. Like, my wife, like, is really my best friend. Yeah. Like, I could sit there and talk to her for hours, and she, you know, just listen. You know, but I had to learn in the marriage to be a better listener. You know, not be so, you know, talkative and listen and be more receptive to just her word and. You know, and what she had going on, I didn't know how to be open, and I had to live. But talking to other married friends, so, you know, shout out to Elax. You know, my friend, he was just like, bro, no matter what, deposits. That's what he called it, deposits. Tell her you love her. Tell her this. You know, even when she do something, you know that, and you know it make you mad. Just tell her you love her because that's the ultimate thing at the end is love. Love her.
Yeah.
And when he started telling me, it made me look at my wife different. Because I never, when I'm mad, man. I'm mad, bro. Like, I'm the only boy, so you know, it was that immaturity, that childishness, that taking what I was in my house into my marriage. Because it spoiled my mom. I got four sisters, bro. I'm the only boy, so it's spoiled brat over here, bro. On my terms, I wanted this, you know. I had to learn to let a lot of that go growing up, you know. Because when I got mad, man, shut her out, bro. I ain't talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and the kids see it, and it's just the imbalance at the house. Yeah. Then I start to understand, like, man, like, I control the mood of this house. Like, whatever I get up on, I get up on, the whole house is on, you know? So if I get up on some, you know, but like I said, man, it's a lot of learning.
Yeah, that's crazy. My wife just told me that this morning. my wife just told me that this morning, so that's nuts. Wow. man, that shit threw me off. We had a conversation this morning. She was like, "Man, you don't recognize, you know, the you know, everybody goes off of your aura. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you come in mad, the house gonna feel it. If you happy, the whole house gonna feel it, man. So, you know, those are the little things I'm starting to recognize. You know what I mean? You know, being at my age, you know, I'll be 35 this year. There's still a lot of things that, you know, I'm learning, not just as a husband,
right,
but as a man, you know what I mean? I didn't really grow up with the rules, you know what I mean? Right. I'm kind of like the exception to the rule almost, you know, I should have been on some other shit, but I'm here, you know what I mean? And, you know, I want it and I'm willing to learn. What is, you know what, I'm gonna hit this back. Because now we're married, right? Are there anything you guys are insecure about? Or she can make you insecure about?
Nah. I mean, I mean, because they see it's worse, man. So, I mean, definitely with mine. I had lost my job and all that other stuff, chasing a dream, you know, doing music.
Yeah.
Coming back from Miami, you know, with you know, doing the stuff with Mr. Finley, I came back and was broke, didn't have a job, nothing.
Yeah.
I had to ask for money to go do, and that was like the worst Now, I felt the most insecure, but she made me feel the most confident at that time because she was like, don't worry about it. I got you. It'll be okay. You know, at that time, she was like pouring life into me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's what really I lean back and look on a lot of stuff right now. Like, you know, I can't be really insecure about nothing. I mean, she pretty much know everything about me. Like, I know everything about her. So,
yeah,
you know, but I don't think it is.
That's what. I see you thinking over there.
Thank you, man. My wife started dating. That was at the brokest point in my adult life.
I seen that picture. It's pretty low.
Damn. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad, bro. I had mom to die, lost the car, everything, was on a part-time job, through a 10 agency, all of that. So she held me down. She was like, you know, I got you. Let's do this. So just a little bit to get me on my feet. And she knew me because of how I was raised by my mom. She knew I wasn't that type of person to be like that my whole life. So once I got the ball rolling and got up and up, I always was like, you know, whatever I have, you can want. It's the 80-20 rule. 80% of the time, you can have it your way. Whatever you want, do it. But that 20% of the time, I want my damn 20% when I ask for it. But other than that,
I feel it.
I think the insecurity, probably me being ashy all the time because I'm lazy putting lotion on. She always like, damn, you just come home, look at yourself. Like, why are you scratching your stomach like this? It's just white, like a chalkboard.
Right. Right. But there is a flip side also to that. Yeah. As I was thinking about it, I mean, your wife can make you feel insecure with how she handles situations, you know, as far as like, you know, friendships and relationships with the opposite sex or the same sex, you know, whatever the case is, you know, because she don't make you feel secure in who you are in your position in her life and that type of stuff, man.
I know what it is. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. No, good. Oh, no, go ahead.
I don't know how to barbecue. My wife barbecues. I don't barbecue. I don't do nothing involving cooking. I'll buy the food. I will clean up, but I'm not cooking.
I feel you.
So she barbecues.
My wife kind of laid the ground rules already, and she laid the ground rules when we first got together. I tried to cook for her.
Didn't work.
You know what I'm saying? She kind of disrespected me. You know what I'm saying? So I said never again. It's
hard.
You
still about that?
Fuck yeah, that was when we first got together. I ain't cooked it.
What she said was wrong with it? Taste of diabetes?
No, you know when you because she's done it a few times. I've done it a few times.
Yeah.
So I know it pisses her off. So what she did was I had made like a salad type of shit, right? And I went and I took it to her, man. I had it looking all beautiful, man. All real Applebee's and shit.
You put eggs in it?
I don't remember if it was eggs in it, but it was something.
That must be a white people.
It was on some health shit.
When I eat eggs in my salad, bro.
It was.
Oh, my bad.
It was on some health shit. But she got up and went in the kitchen and opened the fridge and grabbed the cheese.
Oh.
I was like, man, it was already heat. You ain't got to add that extra to it. What we doing? You know what I mean? And so after that, I was like, I'm cool.
That's it. That's all it took.
That's all it took.
Throw some cheese on that bitch.
But see, the thing is now, though. The thing is now, she'll make like some chicken and shit. She'll use different spices. Right?
Yeah.
But me, as soon as I see some chicken,
you put hot sauce on it.
I give you the hot sauce and ranch. <See? laughs> And she be like, "Oh, you didn't even check. You didn't even check this. You didn't even check to see the seasoning." I was like, "Oh, now you see how I feel."
Yeah.
I was one and done her, man. You can't cook for a cook, man. You know that's her thing. And so every time she, you know, she eats something that somebody else cooks, she's always like,
"Yeah, that's
sizing it up."
Yeah, that's my mama.
I can't stand it.
I think too. What's so funny is that, like you said, you like I said, you had an example of who you want to marry. So like my mom's like, my wife is just like my mom's, but there's a lot of things that my mom do that my wife don't do that I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah,
because my mom be going somewhere, she be eating something like. See this? they could have. I'm like, moms, man. Yeah. Like, you
disrespect the chef, adding stuff to it. Like
that, but they chefs like that, you know. Because I come from, you know, my sis, they all do that. They cooks, and every time they go somewhere, I think it might just be a black woman thing.
I think
bro.
It's a black woman thing. I don't want to be on no black woman tangent. Because I only do black women.
That's
beautiful.
What I'm saying. My wife is, you know, black. So yeah. I
think you know, with me, man, you know, it's so small. And I probably wouldn't even care if we weren't married. I shouldn't care now. That's how small it is. But a little bit of, I never cared, but like a little bit of wifey's like past came out a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And although I don't give a fuck about none of that shit, I got extremely insecure.
Why?
That's a good fucking question. I got extremely insecure, man, and it like hit me. It's almost like a feeling of like unworthiness a little bit. And I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess the expectation that we expect our, well, I'm going to say me, like you expect your wives to, you know, your wife to be like pure.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though that's boring as shit, I stand by that.
Yeah.
Everybody got a pass, B.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, man, this is my wife, man. You know what I mean? The thought of her, like, I don't know.
Yeah, nah.
Loving someone else and being with somebody else. And that was like, it made me extremely insecure. You know what I'm saying? Like, almost like, why me?
I had similar situation like that. My wife's ex-boyfriend, they dated for like a year or two. He had got murdered. So she felt some type of way. Mm. And I was like, you know, you want to grieve, grieve. Go to the funeral, do your thing, whatever. But then the ex-mom would call him and, could you go to the trial date to make sure they get the victim? You know, she's like, I don't want to do all that because I'm still married. But
yeah.
I didn't want her to feel like she had to hide those feelings from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave her that space. And on the flip side, maybe about 2 years later, my ex that I've known for 20 years had died from COVID. Wow. And so she gave me that same space, you know, be around the family, to talk to them and everything. So I was like, man, we really over here, like, you know, dealing with the deaths of our exes, and we ain't want no jealousy or nothing like that.
Yeah.
You know, my homies was like, man, I don't know. My wife could grieve over her ex passing. I'm like, well, nigga, he ain't gonna come back from the grave and cheat. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Right. That's gonna work.
Nah, so. I feel you though. I mean, cause like I said, I've been with my wife since high school. So us separating, getting back together, yeah, being single. So yeah. And when you get back together, you hear about, you know,
the stories.
Stories. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one thing that I had to look at it that kind of, you know, it's the experience, man. Like, they have to experience these things in order to understand what they got at home. You know, in order to understand that you have a good one, you got to go through these different things. If I didn't go through these experiences, like with these different women, I won't appreciate my wife at home as much as I do. You know, because then you also see like the negatives in a lot of these other situations that go on too, and you're just like, oh man, like. And there's no disrespect to those women, you know, and it was just crazy. Like, before we was in here talking about my cousin, Neil, I was like, man, no, it's crazy when you had these, you know, he had a song like I'm sorry or something like that. And he was apologizing to the women before him. He was like, I messed up and I'm only the man that I am today because of the mistakes I made prior to.
Mm.
But I'm sorry I did that, you know, to you. And that's kind of how it go. You know, if they don't go through these things and, you know, it happens. Because I always say, hey, man, if it was that player, they'd still be there.
Mm.
You know, they'll still be over there, you know, because if it was what they wanted, you know. And that's how I try to tell my friends. Because some people be feeling like, oh, man, you know, I got some friends. She settled for me. What you mean? She settled for you, bro. Like,
why is settling a bad thing?
I don't know. When did it
become a bad thing? Because you settle for greatness.
Yeah.
I mean, you reach your point, you're going to settle.
Is it part of our going out and get it mentality?
Yeah, because if you go out and get it and you get it, I mean, you're going to settle or you're going to find something else to keep going and getting. At what point do you be like, I'm good, I'm content? And why is that looked upon as a bad thing?
It's only bad. I feel like it's only bad to those that don't have it.
Will you shortchange yourself?
Not just shortchanging, because, you know, like, you know, success and settling looks different for everybody else. I think those that have that, those conversations are the ones that don't have it at all or watching other people. You
right.
Know what I'm saying? I got this thing called, you know, a lot of people, you got people that look in the mirror,
mm-hmm,
and you got to look at you. You got people that look outside the window.
Now, my sister, she's in here. She said contentment and settling are not the same. So I would like to see what she would mean by that. But and she's a woman, so she's the definition of contentment. You know, we can look that up and see that way we'll know. Because settling, like, it's
content is being pretty much being satisfied. settling, I guess you could settle for less, but I don't know if you actually do that in I don't know if people do that in relationships. You know, we like to talk about it, but like it ain't like, you know, you finna get the last man on earth type shit. You know
I think saying? We grow together. When we're with a person, we grow and we learn that person. So we grow as one, as opposed to I'm not settling for less, I'm out doing this. And when you start throwing that individualism in a relationship, and that's when shit get kind of odd.
This is a fact.
So it's like that teamwork. We're a team. Like I said, I don't cook, my wife cook. I handle my strong points, she have her strong points. I don't be wanting Shaq to take the ball up court and I got Kobe right here, yeah. You know?
Hey man, one of the and this is funny too. Like an OG from back in just the neighborhood, just hey man, it's always gonna be a person with more money. Mm-hmm. Always gonna be a person more attractive, more in shape, younger, all this other stuff, man. Just be happy where you at. Mm-hmm. Do the best of what you're working with, mm-hmm. man. And once you start having that mindset, like you said, it you start looking at what you lack and what I have, you know, you'll be good to go. You know, mm-hmm. So, and that's just one of those things that I see, like, man, we got to be able to pay attention to, you know, growing in a position to be better husbands, better fathers, you know, better black men, period, man. Yeah. Accountability is what we got to start doing, too, you know.
All right. Before we get up out of here, a marriage goal of yours. Of yours, not of.
Of mine?
Yeah.
Make this shit last. Like,
forever.
Yeah,
I was gonna say the same thing. Just make it last to end. One of us go. You know,
trying to be the old nigga in the club at like 55, still trying to.
It's player.
Yeah. Maybe that's really. Player. But outside of that, it's just outside the marriage goals. It just make it work, bro. Because I mean, we got some beautiful stuff that we actually got together with kids and stuff. But outside of that, it's just really making the marriage work. Not being a statistic and falling a victim to, you know. Outside control,
yeah.
You know, just being really locked in with my wife, you know. So that's really my goals from now on. Like, I had to go through what I went through to understand, like, okay, yeah, yeah. Make it work.
This must be Ivan C, because it's low as hell.
They say, man, listen, you know, let's grow together, you know what I mean? Mine is too, man, just continue growing and evolving, man. The forever shit, that's already set in stone, I feel.
It's a beautiful thing, man. We need more black marriages.
Hey, and before we go, too, I just want to say thank you, man, because I've been on his head about this. You know, we got to keep doing this more often. You know, I think, like I said, for everybody, we're going to try to sit down and get it together with some real structure and, and just real get some real meat on the bone, because I think we can teach a lot of people just from our experiences this here as husbands on how to, you know, just get some calls and just talk to people, man, because that's how we get better as a community. You know, the game ain't to be sold, it's to be told, man. Like they try to switch it up on us, man. We got to tell our friends how to be successful in marriage. We got to tell our friends how to be a successful black man. And because I had to read books, like you said, on how to become a man, because it's certain things that my dad wouldn't talk, you know, so I can't blame my dad for certain, you know, things. It's how the game go, but I got to teach my kids. So,
yeah. All right, man. Where can they find you guys at, man?
I am S2DO at Yahoo. I mean, I'm
Jesus.
I just gave all my password. Oh man, I am. Well, at symbol I am S2DO on Instagram and Twitter.
This guy. Hey man, your Las Vegas realtor, Toddy Elise, man, call Grease. I'm helping you out. Real estate needs, man. So call Grease, Instagram, IG.
Hey man, y'all know where y'all can find me at, man. We up out of here, man. I appreciate you fellas, man.
Appreciate
we'll
it.
We may be doing this more often.
Man, cool, man.
We up out of here. Peace.